Anyway, one day we came, we were in Honolulu, and we went to see Prabhupada, a whole bunch of us, and we were not scruffy hippies, but we just had a little long hair, we were yoga pants, and we used to do Harinam all the time, more than the temple. And, but the temple did some Harinam too, the regular temple. We never went to the regular temple, but when Prabhupada was coming, our guru, Sai, he said we should go there and see Prabhupada. So about 30-something of us, 30, 40, we went to this place on McKinley Street, the temple. So Prabhupada came in the back door of the temple. The sun was kind of setting, and when he came in, it was a big kirtan, Madhavisa, was leading the kirtan, and several, there was Devananda, a couple, the Prabhupada was going to Japan. So there was two or three swamis minimum. Prabhupada came in, if this were the room, I'm trying to think, if we came in that way, and the Vyasan was up here in the back door, the door was there, and Prabhupada came in during the kirtan. And he was clean shaven. And first thing I thought, I'd seen Prabhupada long before in 67, but this is here now 70. And in fall, 70, September. So stood in the doorway as not a really silhouette because it was still daylight. And his head was clean shaven. And first thing anybody could think was, have I ever seen anyone clean? I've never seen anyone clean. This person is clean. No, he is pure. He is not from this place. Because the way he appeared in the doorway, it was like he just showed up in the doorway. And I don't know where the back stairs were or came off of a flower or plant. It didn't matter. He was just appearing in the doorway like that. It was not a wide one like this. And so I was thinking, wow. First thing he did, the Panchatattva, the Rasam was there, the altar was there. The room was probably a third of the size. And he just flat out bowed, and he thought, wow, so humble too. This is amazing. And he just walked, sat up, and immediately assumed completely different ambience of a great king sitting up in this big chair with the Vyasa's on, you know, it was pretty high one, I think. Either way, it was at least like that, and maybe higher. And Devananda, he was a swami at the time for the Gaurang. Madhavisa was continuing to chant. We're all crammed in. Remember, there's 40 of us, and a bunch of people was packed in. Kirtan was raging, people were trying to dance. But the one thing that I remember that he said, said a few things, but he said, so you should all, when he started to speak, it was really powerful. Two things that stick out. I think that tape is there in archive. Ranjit looked for it. He said, so you should all join here. Remember, we're a fringe group, quite a big one too. About 60, 70 people. Some of them were outer islands. So he said, you should all join here. And another thing he said was, I guarantee you will see God face to face. We looked at everybody. You will see God face to face. By chanting Hare Krishna, you will see God face to face. So that's something you won't forget. Someone says that, you take it seriously. Especially when he already looks like you haven't seen anyone like that before. He's so pure and so perfect. And he appears to be alighting from another dimension. And then, although so regal, so amazing, he's bowing down doing Dandavats in front of the Panchatattva and then walking in, sitting, lighting up onto the asana. So that was probably that I saw in Hawaii in 70, it must have been September. I have to put in a plug for Govindadasi. It must have been just after that, that we had our own gathering. So Govindadasa was very upset that there's this splinter group and all these people, and they weren't giving respect to Prabhupada, but she could see. So everybody was doing this kind of yogic exercise, quasi-yogic exercise called psychic sleep, and we're all lying down in this place called the Church of the Crossroads. We did this every week. And while we were doing Harinam, we would invite people. I used to make handbills with another guy who used to be a famous postal artist, Bo Schneff. So anyway, in the middle, we're lying down. And someone's guiding us through, you know, you're not your body. That, it actually was pretty effective. But and all of a sudden, here's something. You know, someone says something. It wasn't part of the show at all. And we get up, and there's Govindadasi standing. And she's trying to read a letter from Prabhupada. And Siddhasarup was reciting. His right-hand man was always a big fanatic, Krishna Krishna. He was trying to throw her out, you know, bodily. And Siddhasarup sighed. He was saying, let her and let her speak. Let her speak. He got up and read the letter from Prabhupada. And that letter... she had written to Prabhupada talking about the whole situation. Prabhupada said, this boy Sai is not my disciple, because he was claiming that he was, although he didn't look like one. Prabhupada was pretty careful about what his disciples would look like. Later on, there was some question from New Zealand, Prabhupada, your disciples, Siddhasarup and others, they don't dress like swamis. Prabhupada said, then don't associate with them. They're supposed to be sannyasis. They don't dress like them. So in this letter, same thing. My disciples are clean shaven. The ladies wear saris. Gave exactly, this is what exactly what Govindadasi wanted. And she was adding to it. You have all these books, whatever books Prabhupada had, we used to read them actually every day, every book. And chant 25 rounds, that's another thing. And do Harinam 10, 12 hours a day. But still, it's very specific. Govindadasi said, you're not giving credit to Prabhupada like that. So at the time, as soon as she finished, I thought, yeah, this is off. I got to join ISKCON. So by indirect directness, Prabhupada was controlling the minds. There's one of Rupa Goswami's poem, Shlokas, from the Vedanta model about Lord Chaitanya. He can control the mind. Vashikata manakata Jagannamana, Jagajanamana Loba. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlling the mind of everyone in the universe. Similarly, Prabhupada could control our minds like that. So we had this mood already planted that we would. So Sai, he couldn't resist. Also, he turned over his whole group in October, November of 70. So that's my memory of Prabhupada in Hawaii. They all, well, one or two didn't, but most of them did. And by the way, he had given spiritual names to, Sanskrit names to everybody except me and Jagat Guru Swami, who's now not a sinner. And later on, he reminded me, he said, Pushkar, don't you recall me and you, Yoni? He's a real Orin Swami. Anyone who knows him. Don't you remember Sai never gave us any spiritual name? You know, we were up, too up in his face. Anyway, we were fairly similar. So. I have more stories, but there's more people to see. How do you go? And Sri Jirupa, and after Sri Jirupa, Ambarish Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Please forgive me for the inadequacies I have. I generally do not speak. I like to remain in the back. My only qualification that I'm here is Prabhupada's mercy. I'm actually a living, walking example of that, Prabhupada's kindness. I wanted to serve him from the moment I saw him, and I saw him very, very quickly when I was a new devotee. And straight away, I was in the kitchen, and there I was doing small little offerings. And that was early in 73. And then that became my focus, became my whole meditation and prayer. And the next year, 74, we all went to Mayapur, and I tried to get in the kitchen there, and I was met with resistance. And then the next year, I went, so I began actually personally serving Prabhupada, 75, 76, 77. And I was officially his last cook. I traveled with him to England. Anyway, so, but what I wanted to share with you today in this short period of time, I didn't prepare anything. A little slice of Prabhupada as a person. We know him as Acharya, Vedat Guru, author. Prabhupada charmed us by the way he cared for us. My claim to fortune is I fell in love with Prabhupada. The way he took personal care, the way he gave personal attention, and obviously just to be in the presence of a saintly person, and that is where I gave my life. And I breathed and slept and prayed just to be with Prabhupada, to the point where Jamuna once told me that I forced Prabhupada to serve me because I wouldn't let up. It was my focus. Where to the point when he was ill and didn't want me to cook, but I still wouldn't give up. And anyway, I won't go there. I'm just going to give you a few short stories, two quick stories, maybe a slice of the life, Prabhupada's humor, and maybe a nice lesson. Mayapur, 77, after Prabhupada would finish his meal, I would take his tray to his thali down, and the standard was you would go and distribute. So he was in the first building, and it was three floors, so I would transfer it, and I would walk each floor. And I literally, how I have no qualities here, but I would learn to hate the service because it took me over an hour and everyone was so fussy. They would, bring the plate, and probably about 20 minutes before they knew the plate would come, everybody would start gathering in little pockets and talking and hanging out on the floors. And here I would come, so it was dealing with what wants. And I'm standing there, and so this went on for a little while, and it took me, like I said, a very long time. And so then one day at lunch, how he would be after he would eat. Prabhupada would always eat alone. He would eat alone and he would eat in silence. And he would take about 45 minutes to eat. And then after he would eat, he would sit there and pick, and he would watch you as you would, because usually the katoris were off the plate, chapatis, there was rice, ants. It was all just taking over. And I was always very bold, and sometimes I would even shake his and toward the rice would fly, the chapati, so I could sweep up. And he would sit there and watch, sometimes he would point to where I would miss. And so this day he's picking, and he's looking at me, and he says, "You should mix everything." I thought, okay. So I went down, and the evil person that I am, I took the shukta, I took the sweet rice, I took the palm in my hand, I just took the rice, the chapati, this, the that, and so it was like this mercy mash. And so then I went out, and to everybody's shock, it was like, a little bit. And then that went on, it was rather quick. And the next day I did the same thing, and I noticed there was maybe 3/4 of the people. They weren't sure what was going on. Third day, half. Fourth day, fifth day, no one. No one on the floors, maybe a few Bengalis, and the only thing I wouldn't mix in were the green chilies. So I would take 3 green chilies, dip them in salt, and I left those, and the Bengalis would always take the chilies. So after about 5-6 days of this, nobody, I'd be zip, 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 and I'd go down and eat the whole thing myself. And I have to tell you, it was extreme nectar. I mean, there wasn't, and I did the same thing. I took my palm, my hand, I made that mash, and I went down and I would take, you couldn't recognize anything. And I would just eat the whole thing. And so then after about a few days, Robert's picking his teeth and he's looking and he goes, "So, you are mixing?" And I said, "Oh, sure, Robert, this is very good, sister." He got in his head. And so I would go down, do the same thing, did my duty, nobody here, go down and eat. And then I learned later, I didn't know at the time, but then after, so probably 78, 79, when I got back to the States, Dean Tarnay, a dear God sister, said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj would do the same thing. You probably read in the biography, he speaks in there about Mahaprasad and Maha Mahaprasad. Coming from the pure devotee, it's actually Maha Mahaprasad. It means Lord's mercy. And she told me that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would want to know who ate, who asked from the Mahaprasad, who wanted the fried, who wanted the sweet, who wanted this. And that way he could tell what, you know, some people only want the sweet, some people only want the fried, they only want this, they want that. You know, you're missing the point of what we're receiving here. This is Maha Maha Mercy. So, and then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta established mixing. I'm sure no one was evil as I was, but that is. So I wanted to pass that on because it's a very valuable lesson, and to understand even, you know, within our own reflection, where we are with our desires and so forth. That was one, and then another quick, this one's a little longer, but I'll make it short. Spirit of Prabhupada's humor, which there's so many stories of his humor, but on this day it involved me. And the standard was at that time, when I was living in Mayapur, that the women were not allowed to go on the morning walk. Yeah. So Prabhupada arrived, Prabhupada came, and it was the tour of the new long building. Prabhupada had never seen it before. And he wanted to go take the tour. And so I'm like, "I want to go." And the lady that was living there like, "No, you can't." And I'm like, "Why?" And they said, "It's the rule." And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to get my camera and I'm going to take pictures and I'm going to be Vishaka. And if the pictures come out, I'm going to send them to BTG. So who cares?" This is kind of the way I was, that they were like, "No." And I'm like, "Whatever." So I get my camera, I start heading to the long building, and hover the head, and there's all the sannyasis. Lo and behold, the first person I walk eyes with was Bhavananda. And it was like, I looked, he looked, and then the next person I turned, and I bumped into Guru Kripa, the Swamis at the time. And I'm like, and as I was shaking, literally shaking, because the air was so thick you could cut it. I mean, it was so, I felt like the most unwanted, welcome stepchild, you know, walking in. And then all of a sudden, Prabhupada caught out of the corner of his eye a glimpse of me. And Prabhupada immediately turned to speak to me. And so they kind of parted, and I was still kind of nervous here. And then we exchanged a few words, and then it closed, and then he started walking, and he thought of something again, and he turned to speak to me again. And so, it all parted. And Prabhupada, I have to get this in sequence now, Prabhupada looked at me and started talking about, I was the first person to build, householder quarters in Mayapur, so I built over the Goshala. And I had had previous conversations with Prabhupada in Bombay earlier about the design and so on and so forth. So at this point, he looked at me and he said, "I hear you've built one very nice house at the Goshala." And by this time, I came all the way up to him. It opened up and I walked right up to Prabhupada. Because he was by now, and this was his third time. And so I don't know what came of me, but I immediately just said, it will be Srila Prabhupada if you come. And then he looked at me and smiled. And then he goes, you know, once El Vajuria, and the look on my face was so blank because I was still feeling this intensity of, you know, that I wasn't supposed to be there. So I wasn't real clear. And he was looking at me and he could tell I wasn't following. And he said, you know, once El Vajuria, and I'm there like blank. And he looks again and he says, once El Vajuria, and he says, you do not know? Once El Vajuria? Oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada, because I was living with Srila Vajuria off and on, and I actually brought Prabhupada there as my guest. That shows you how stressed out I was. And he goes, I said, oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada says, you know, and he was exaggerating. He said, you know, I stayed 1 minute, and he gave 5,000 rupees. I said, so, Srila Prabhupada, if you come for 2 minutes, I'll give you 10,000 rupees. And Prabhupada threw his head back. He just laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing. And he goes, so you arrange, I will come. And to tell you honestly, I had no money. I had some diamond earrings. And so I, when I got back, you know, I guess I went to Adhiram and, you know, I know Satsrup went to Adhiram and said, well, your wife really put her foot in her mouth today. You know, and they were just shocked. Because I remember when Prabhupada and I were discussing, I could see their faces and they were just like, you know, the boldness but it was, I didn't even think, it just came, you know, like, you 1,000, I'll give you 10,000. You know, so, and it showed his humor. And so then after that, I thought, I can't do this anymore. And so then I scurried off. But it also, it warmed my heart also that this wasn't Prabhupada's standard, that the women couldn't be there. It was obviously set by the authorities there, which is all fine and good. But for in my heart, it helped me and it showed me, because Prabhupada treated us in a, I'd been there at times when he would say, serve the women and children first, you know, and otherwise, you know, maybe we didn't even get. And I'm like, forgive me, I don't mean to start any subject here, but I'm just trying to show a little insight to Prabhupada's personal way and kindness and how he interfaced with his disciples, men, women, or children. So at any rate, I know my time's up, but I just wanted to give you a glimpse into his humor and into, he knew, you know, when about the prasadam, when you'd be in front of Prabhupada, you would feel totally exposed. And I'm literally hating this idea of going and distributing. And he's sitting there, you know, he's tuning right in, because he'd sit there, it'd take you, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to get everything. And, he was tuning in. I just remember his hand with a toothpick picking and picking. And, you know, another time I'll share more stories and more things of that. But thank you very much.
Just Ambarish Guru. Ambarish Guru, we have an announcement. We need some big strong men to go over and help Keshava Prabhu, because the people who are coming to collect the chairs are coming to get them very, very quickly. So could we have some volunteers, please, to help Keshava Prabhu? What's there? So please join Keshava Prabhu. After Ambarish Prabhu, Rangavati.
Namam Vishnu Parayakas Vastai Bhutalai Sumati Bhakti Vanata Samani Tamana Namaste Svasati Yadavadam Kujana Nagasasa Sumati Pashtadara Sakana. So, Chaturama said, you have so many stories, and I, you know, I always get the feeling I tell the same stories every year, so. And, But, you know, sometimes I wonder, what am I doing living here? You know, it's 110 degrees, hidden heat index. There's these little bugs that fly right in front of your face. And I'm going, what the? You know, but then I come here on a day like today and I realize this is such a special place and a sweet place. And this is Prabhupada's place. And everybody here just loves Prabhupada. And he loves us back, you know, because we have a beautiful community and peaceful and wonderful. So I'm very happy to be here today. Lately, I've been reading the Lilamrita. When the Lilamrita came out, I couldn't get into it because I thought there was too much speculation going on. Well, Prabhupada taught this and Prabhupada felt this, and how did they know all that? So I couldn't really get into it. I like Parisari's book better because it was more like, you know, this happened now and this and whatever. But lately I've been getting into the Lilamrita and reading the second part about the battle for Bombay and opening the Vrindavan temple. This is 74, 75. And how much struggle Srila Prabhupada had to go to get these two temples open. You know, not only in Bombay, there was the struggle with the land, and then the struggle with construction, and there were backs and reverses back and forth, and this and that went on for a long, long time. And in Vrindavan, they were going to have the opening on, I think it was scheduled for Janmasthami 1974 or 5. I'm not sure which one it was, but the temple was 4. Yeah, it wasn't ready. It wasn't even near ready. Huh? 75 during Ram Nomi. Yeah, it was, and Prabhupada was furious. So, you know, I mean, the devotees that were there and the devotees that were serving at this time, really got chewed out, you know, heavy by Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, I was very fortunate. He was always very kind to me. He only lost his temper with me once, and that was because I was acting stupid and questioning his orders. You know, when I first took initiation in Hawaii, 1975, it was a wonderful, wonderful time to be there. I would go there when Srila Prabhupada came and stay in the house with him and go on morning walks. So I asked Paramahansa Swami if I could take initiation. He said yes. When I got initiated, right after initiation, Shuddha Kirti and Paramahansa and a couple other people were going to celebrate by having lunch at the Prasadam restaurant down on Waikiki. So I thought to myself, well, I'll be a good disciple and I'll go ask my spiritual master if I could go for lunch. So I asked him and his response was, no, we do not go to restaurants. So I was like stunned. And then I made the big mistake. I said, Srila Prabhupada, you don't understand. Don't do that. He said, no, we do not go to restaurants, you know. So anyway, that was the only time we really got a little exercise with me. So I was very lucky. But, you know, my association with Srila Prabhupada and the orders that he gave me completely changed my life. When he was on the planet, my interest was to provide beautiful places for him to go to. So okay, the house we bought in Hawaii was a beautiful place. God knows it well. And then Deva Sadan was purchased right after I was initiated. So and Srila Prabhupada was very proud of Deva Sadan. It was really the crown. The jewel in the crown back in those days. When we had the opening, of course, Prabhupada had departed by then. When we had the official opening in 1983, it was the biggest media event ISKCON had ever had. Because Lekha Shivanti, who was Walter Ruth's daughter, and myself had put money into this project. And, you know, we had this grand opening and all the big networks were there and so many people came. So it was a big, big event, and Srila Prabhupada, I know, was very proud of that event. And he was proud just of the house he would come and see the deities were so nicely situated in the temple room. He saw the temple room, the ballroom it was, for the first time. And down at the end of the ballroom is beautiful. It has these clouds painted on the ceiling, and it's surrounded by mirrors. And down at the end, there's three arches. And Srila Prabhupada saw this, the three arches, and he said, oh, Krishna has been saving this house for us. So now Radha Kunjvihari and Sri Sri Gornichai and Jagannath live in these arches down at the end, and next door there's Sri Natsu. But you can only look at the face of Sri Sri Radha Kunjvihari to know that they're being well tended to, because they're the most opulent deities. They're always beautifully dressed. The prasadam there is always first class. So Srila Prabhupada, those were projects I worked on while he was on the planet. And he also instructed me to help do a Dal project in Washington, which Rupa Nuga and I went to look for land. This is 77. So we went to look for land because Srila Prabhupada really liked the Dal Museum in Los Angeles. And somebody sent him pictures of the line going down the block, lined up to see these exhibits. And his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, was very much into these Dal exhibits. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to have a Dal exhibit in Washington on the mall. I mean, that was the idea, to put it on the mall. So we did look at land in downtown Washington, and it was very, very expensive. I mean, back in those days, even it was expensive. So, you know, then Srila Prabhupada departed, and the idea kind of fell apart. And then we decided, well, we have this beautiful mansion in Detroit. We'll fill in one of the boat wells, and we'll put the Dal exhibits there. This is after we went through a couple of other detours, you know. We're going to put the Dal exhibit on a building across Jefferson. Some of you who know Detroit know that probably was not a good idea, you know. And so we ended up by putting it in a boat well, which seemed like a good idea, but the thing is, it's very difficult to fill in boat wells and make sure they're watertight. But anyway, we did it, and it turned out quite successful. And in the beginning, after the project opened, busloads of tourists would come down. And we would have these little old ladies would come from the suburbs and go through the whole house, and then they would go through the Dal exhibits, which showed all the pastimes of Krishna, including the Rasa dance. And they would go in one door, and sometimes when they came out the other door, they would be in tears. They were so affected by the beautiful exhibit. So that was very, very pleasing to me to see that this was Prabhupada's idea. We never got around to doing it in Washington. That's on my to-do list. Then 1976, Srila Prabhupada planted the seed for the Mayapur project. And, you know, I've been involved in it for many, many years. I first worked with Abhiram, who kept the project alive for many years. And then somehow other things didn't work out the way they were planned, so we ran up against a brick wall and came up with a new plan and put that into place. And at the time, there were devotees that were telling me, you should wait until the government changes. Put your money in a trust and wait until the government changes. And I know that if I'd done that, we would still be waiting. So, you know, I took a big gamble because I knew that this was what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And so we started construction in 2009, I believe it was. And 2 years later, the government changed. The communists were thrown out. Congress Party came back in. And since that time, really, we've had the wind behind us as far as the construction of this temple. It's been just an amazing experience to see how fast this has gone up. And so we're very positive. We've had some glitches and some reverses along the way as far as the fundraising. But I'm very confident that the project will be completed, hopefully within my lifetime. I would like to see it completed. And from this temple, Charanivas talks about this all the time, from this temple, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spread all over the world. It's predicted. I don't know exactly where it's from, but it's predicted like that. So, you know, we're just waiting for that day. You know, and this is basically for the youth, the generation who's coming up after us. because this temple where they have a kirtan hall, it's an 8.5, you know, they'll be able to broadcast Harinam everywhere around the world. Everybody that goes to Mayapur will become energized by being there and seeing this. So I'm very, very grateful to Srila Prabhupada. He saved my life more than once. And also he sent my, what is my wonderful wife? My wonderful wife, Swadhi Dasi, who, you know, keeps me in line, and I need that because I'm a little bit of a rascal. So, between the two of them, I'm still here and I'm still chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
So after Madhurangavati, we'd like to hear from Sikhi Mahiti Prabhu.
Yeah, she's so glad to die. Ambarish, thank you so much for that amazing service that you're doing to bring Lord Chaitanya's mission to the world. I don't know who else could do that amongst us. This is a short reading that I wrote while I was in Vrindavan in 2015. Dear Srila Prabhupada, you are our only hope in this world of death and darkness. As I sat in my MVT room in beautiful Vrindavan, I see your presence everywhere. You have given so many conditioned souls the choice and the privilege to follow your teaching and instruction, which both guarantee safety from this material world is carefully practiced with love and devotion. Old age and its challenges are what you have warned us about from the beginning of your preaching in America. And now that its beginning is becoming a stone-cold reality with me, your words sink deeper and deeper in. The message of Lord Krishna in the Gita seems to walk off the pages and stare me down, causing a quiet humility, submissiveness to his word. We are the eternal soul residing in this temporary body, separate yet not equal. Let this absolute truth be set in my mind and heart, and let your kindness and compassion seep into my spiritual progress. O divine guru, you are what I am made of. Now, though I am fallen and forgotten, I pray at your lotus feet to keep me anywhere and everywhere eternally with you. Your inspiring servant, Rangarathi. I just wanted to make one other note about when I was in Zimbabwe, and I kept asking everyone, where are these people come from? Are you out there advertising everywhere? They're just streaming through the temple, just streaming happily, you know, enthusiastically. And another thing is that, you know, fame, from what I have seen in this world, it's not that easy to achieve. You know, they talk about the 15-minute of fame. You're lucky you get that. But Srila Prabhupada now in India is becoming truly famous. And now with this Mayapur temple coming up, we won't even recognize what this movement started out. Because between Mayapur, Vrindavan, Juhu, and all the other temples coming up in India, Srila Prabhupada is truly a famous guru in India. And we get to be a little part of that. Thank you all so much.
So, after Sikhi Mahiti Prabhu, Mother Jai Gauri.
We're all getting older, huh? Namo Vishvaraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimakti, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane, Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Lord of Namaste Chani. Nivasesha Sunyavari Patsukya Vishabhaya. Om Ajanata Niranjasa, Yananjana Swapada. Thank you. So I'm having visit here since I think it's about 2009, and some Pankajanaya came. So I remember I was in great anticipation of being able to be part of the seated installation of Krishna Balaram. I'd been planning it. And when the day came, I couldn't come. I was so frustrated. Anyway, so now I'm here, and it's mainly to get this association of all these devotees, and here in Alatri, we're very fortunate. We have such a big variety of devotees. I was just meditating on how, if you think of associating with Prabhupada, which ultimately means this Krishna consciousness, the devotional service to Krishna, is generally broken up into this Vapu, which we hear, and the Vani, which are the instructions in the association. So you look at how the movement grew, and in the beginning, of course, it was just Prabhupada's personal association. No one understood what his instruction, which is actually the higher place there. And so, of course, he's very expert in handling, tolerate so many things in the course of trying to bring out the instruction part. And that we hear how from early devotees, Prabhupada would have to wait in line to use the bathroom. Yeah, he's washing the pots after they're sitting down and eating and going, you know. So expertly, he is able to bring us up to that stage of Vani. And we can almost divide the movement up like that too when he's physically present. So I joined in 1974. So by that time, Vani was pretty much established. So when you came into temple, it was, hey, watch this, you know, there's no question of, hey, do I get to meet you, Prabhupada? And ask him some questions. And I can remember the instructions when I joined, and Sri Govinda is the president. Do not write Sri Prabhupada any letters. Jesus. He is too busy. Our business is to serve. To serve. So, and I could see in the temple, the devotees are all ecstatic. You know, and I want to feel like that too. So you knew right away, just, you know, conform. And you'll feel like that also. So by that time, you know, Vani was there. And now we can say practically, actually even more than Vani is, after you really perform Vani, then you'll feel separation. And it doesn't just, for those who, of course, in the earlier days, got some association, you can remember all these moments and what ifs I should have and so many things that are there. And for those who didn't, there's not like you're lost either. You can be like Narottam Das in a sense, you know, oh, I'm so one thing, I just missed and so many things, but the center is the Vani, actually. It's very important, you know. Progress to that. Even with Krishna, in the beginning, oh, we hear Krishna's pastimes, they're so wonderful, these to be deities are so beautiful. And then Krishna says, actually, one who's really my devotee, he's not my devotee, he's the devotee of my devotee. Mm-hmm. So all these things are mixing up. Anyway, I'm saying that because I want to lead into the pastime movement. I'm so tired, you know, I forgot the Mataji's name, so in the pastime about the Sodom. So that's one of those Vapu pastimes. And me coming in Vani period, you didn't get much Vapu. Our Vapu was, I saw Prabhupada in 1975. First he named me Seeking Mahidi Das, which is a whole other story we won't go into. But I think he really meant Sneaking Mahidi. Because if you wanted some Vapu, you have to be sneaky. You ain't gonna get in. You know, I'm not gonna get invited to morning walk. I'm not gonna go to the, you know, get to the dark. He's in Chicago for 2 weeks. The most you could hope for was the fan while he's giving the class, which only lasted 20, 30 minutes. So in this whole queue. So people are like, come on, hurry up, you know. Like, hey, I got the fan now. You're going to have to wait. I'm sorry. Because you don't know if he's going to come back. You know, he would go to those temples generally that distribute a lot of books. So he was, well, how can I not go? So, being a young devotee, you know, you couldn't just, hey, I'm going to Atlanta, Prabhupada's in Atlanta. No, that wasn't going to happen. So, we thought, at least I thought, I have to sell a lot of books, more books than Atlanta, so that Prabhupada would come back to Chicago. Otherwise, you're not going to see him. So in my book distribution was like, you know, I don't really care about saving the fallen souls. I want to see Srila Prabhupada. So, yeah, I remember once telling that we would do the football games in the parking lot. Michigan State was a big one. So in the beginning, it's pretty easy. You know, you just walk in, and sometimes you do Alabama. And, are you a hog or are you a dog? I'm a dog. Yay, well, you get one, you know. So near the end of the year, everybody's already got one, you know. They've been through it. So we're at this game, and, man, it was horrible. We had a quarter. We tried to do 200 back to God here. And, man, I hadn't done it. So I'm sitting there, and I go, I'm not going back like this. So, you know, I had to get a little unorthodox. I only did this once. So I start rolling them up, and I said, get your program, spiritual program. Spiritual program. They're not listening. And I stood near the gate where they're walking in. I just stick them under their arm, and they give a dollar, and they go inside, you know. One guy, hey, this is not a program. I said, spiritual program. I did feel guilty after that. I did. But, you know, I made my quota. That was the point. You know, why? Because I wanted to see, I wanted Prabhupada to come to Chicago again. That was the motivation, and that's really the important part, not so much the activities. So, standing Prabhupada was there, and somehow or another I also got to be able to get up in the line with Prabhupada. I got this chuttering cane. That's another story. But the big thing was Maha. It wasn't like Mayapur. You didn't see Prabhupada Maha. You know, you're not in the sannyasis, and there was no Maha. So when I went to Mayapur in 77 for that last Gopa Nini Prabhupada attended. Long story, but I'll tell the Prasadam story. So she can understand what she was saying, no, but people were picking over the Prasadam. In my case, I joined out of, you know, Black American community, which wasn't vegetarian, and even heard of the word vegetarian, pretty much meat and potatoes. So when I, first time I took prasadam, I didn't like it. Not even sweet rice. And I was like, how do you people eat this stuff, you know? I said, if you want to be a devotee, well, then you're going to have to eat this. You know, so I mean, I'm a very picky eater, and I just kind of have to, you know, now I've got a taste for it, mostly. So going to India for the first time, which is no one prepares you for that. I'm thinking everybody's Christian conscious, you know, because they're Indian, right? And then, you know, Mayapur is new, it's just, you know, and I won't go, oh, this way, but the prasadam, that prasadam hall, which the Indians eat at now, that's where the devotees ate. And I sit down, and here's banana leaf, here's clay cups. I'm not drinking out of that. It's going to get dirty. How you going to, you know, oh, man. Yeah, buffalo yogurt, big chunk of eggplant. I never seen rice that big before. And I'm struggling through this thing, you know, and I'm looking around. I don't see any sannyasis here. I was any sannyasis. I said, I know where they are. They're eating Prabhupada's maha. And this is not fair. How come we never get Prabhupada's maha? You know, this is not the beginning, you know, you could pick over it. This is. So then I knew where Prabhupada's room was from a previous pastime in Mayapur. I said, I'm going to Prabhupada's room. And I'm going to get some maha. Of course, in those days in Mayapur, I don't remember, but I don't think you could buy anything. You couldn't buy maha even. You ate what was there or you didn't eat at all. And I had money. I had like $1,000 in my pocket. My mother gave me money. Like, what are you going to spend it on? You know. So I take the risk. If you don't eat, you're going to fast. So I go to Prabhupada's room and I sit outside the door. And I'm just waiting. And sure enough, here come the Madhavis with three trays. Were you there that day? 77? I can't remember. But anyway, they go in. I go, I'm in the right place. And I wait for a while, and then they come back, and they're going out. And I just, you know, I'm not falling behind them. But, you know, anyway, I just kind of sneak down, sneak in the heating. And they lay the trays outside the door. They don't take them in the kitchen. And I got all that maha, just new that maha. And I'm looking, I go, yeah, this is, you know. So I grab the first thing. Now, you have to understand, this is Bengali cooking. This is not Chicago, which is Gujarati. And the devotees really didn't know how to cook so well then anyway, so it's pretty bland. and I bite the first thing that I think is going to taste good. And it's flaming hot. And I'm like, oh, God. I take the sweet rice. And let me try this one. I never experienced pungent before. You know, everything's pungent, hot, this. And I'm just struggling through it. I'm sweating. I'm like, oh, my God. I said, but it's Prabhupada's Maha, and it's not buffalo yogurt. You know? And I just struggle as much as I can through those trays. And I do this for maybe 2 days, another 2 days. So Magendra was in Chicago in those days. And I tell Magendra, I say, Magendra, you want to get some Prabhupada Maha? And he's looking at me like, oh, you know about Prabhupada Maha. I said, I'm telling you, you better not be lying to me. Because, you know, we don't eat that stuff. Come on, come with me. So we go back up to the room again. And the same thing, they come with the trays. They go downstairs. This time they take the trays inside. And then they come out with this big clay pot. And I look in there, and it's mashed beyond. What did you do to it? She says, Srila Prabhupada said the devotee shouldn't kick over the maha. So he said, mash it up like this. I wanted to say that, you know, I can't eat, you know, all these things because I'm not accustomed to it. So, you know, we dip our hand in there, get that big mash, you know. And I'm struggling. I'm just, oh, God, this is, it's too much. I'm not that advanced. I can't remember what Magendra did. I know I came back maybe 2 days. I didn't come back anymore. I couldn't eat it. It was the chilies. I remember chilies. He says it was chilies. But they were, you know, it was, I never experienced flaming hot like that before. In mouth. So, anyway, now I know I can connect the face with the you messed my up. No, anyway, summarizing all up, you know, the Vapus are there, and the personal association, and being able to get to Maha. I snuck into his room also. That's another story. Just me and Prabhupada in the room. And it was Mayapur. A lot of mercy in Mayapur. And Krishna fulfilled some desires. I was thinking like that. I wanted to have Prabhupada's darshan, and I want some Maha. So I was able to get those things. So, anyway, for those who may feel like we're not going to get those, Vani is the next step, and if you perform that perfectly, you'll get the separation. And you can have your pastimes at night with Prabhupada also, which are even more interactive in person too. So it's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
So, yes. After another Jaigori, I think we want to reserve one or two spots for the younger generation. Is Gauravani here yet? Otherwise, Kish will start off for the younger generation. Thank you.
Wow, what a gorgeous room to take a picture. This is like fabulous. Beautiful here. Okay. I was very glad that my offering was on page 296. Then I added, it came to 9 and, 18, and then 9. Good number. All right, so my name is Jaigori. I'm happy to be here today. And I'm going to read you my offering. It's a little personal, so please bear with me. My dear Gurudev Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your soft and golden lotus feet. This lifetime is taken with scores and heading to its final stage. It's only by your instructions that I continue existing and can go on performing my many services to family and society at large. You kindly distributed this valuable knowledge to one and all who can ascertain the treasure of your legacy. But being unfortunate and lacking piety, I tread behind your stalwart devotees, trying to stay engaged in Sri Gaurasundar's mission of mercy. I have no qualification by far and wide, and in a very small way, I keep the spirit of Sankirtan alive in my Hatha Yoga classes. Lord Gauranga's mission of mercy is very personable, and keeping this personal interaction shining with the rays of the benediction moon is my goal. All these souls I encounter, I see as sent by you. My most ardent desire is to please you with my actions. Our good fortune is that Bhakti Devi is independent of the material energy, and no matter how thick it is, we can keep going forward. I pray to you today for the position of servant of the servant of your servant. Please let the association of your servants be a constant occurrence. For without those who love and serve you, this world is a very sad place. The happiness derived from devotional service is so satisfying that a drop here and there is able to keep me afloat, holding on to the rope of your lotus feet. More and more, the realizations of this transcendental knowledge appears in my heart, and I am so very grateful to understand who I am, who Shri Krishna is, what this world is, and through this understanding, I am able to relate to others, my heart, and its few realizations, and also sharing delicious prasada. This is what I do in my house with my Hatha Yoga students. To glorify you, my dear master, it's my most cherished desire. Please keep me as your dog and kick me so I keep running towards the goal of life, Prema Bhakti. Your insignificant disciple, Jai Gauri Devi Dhabde.
So now we'll hear from Gauravani Prabhu.